Are you looking for a job in 2024, 2025, or 2026? Whichever year you're watching this video, chances are you will experience struggles and obstacles that you haven't experienced before, or maybe you have experienced them, but this time they're heightened or they're magnified because people are just starting to get back to their normal life, whatever normal is right now. And that's because we're just coming out of the pandemic rut. It has been a few years since the pandemic started, but right now people are just slowly getting back to the way it was before, even though we all know we can't really return to our previous normal lives. But anyhow, this video is meant to let you know the different things that are happening in the job market right now, and how you can handle or overcome these obstacles and struggles. So keep watching. The first thing, and I'm sure a lot of you have gone through this long application process, application that has been dragging on for too long, that you almost already forget it. So, no decision after 2 weeks. You have to prepare for your plan B or other options. I would personally wait a week to hear from the recruiter or the hiring manager. And if you can, politely ask when you can expect a decision. At this point, you're still hopeful that you are going to get the job, or maybe that you have a chance. But if it's been 2 weeks and you still not hear from the recruiter or the hiring manager, then it might be time to move forward and accept that this is not going to be yours after all. And that's okay. Don't take it personally. There might be someone out there who got the job and you did not. That's just real life. Even if you are skilled enough and you feel like you're good for the job, but again, there are a lot of factors affecting that, and that is already beyond your control. So what you can control is to inform your recruiter that you're waiting for a decision. Follow up after 1 week or 2 weeks, and if you don't hear back, then move on to the next company that you desire or that you like. The next thing that I'm seeing, number two, is companies advertising fully remote work or work from home, work from anywhere, but in truth, they're actually not offering this type of arrangement, or that there might be an option for you to work from home 3 times a week, but you're also going to be required to go to the office twice a week. So it's a hybrid arrangement, even though they advertise on their job post that it's going to be a fully remote job. So I would say look out for disclaimers in the job post, because some of the companies that you're going to apply for might say that they are going to let you work from home for the first few months, but maybe that you are going to be required to go back to the office after that. So you have to be clear with the arrangement. Otherwise, it's going to impact your decisions, because maybe you've already been set to, work on a job that will allow you to work remotely so that you can move around, you can take care of your family, and you're not going to be required to, work in the office, which is understandable. And a lot of companies are still trying to navigate this aspect of the employment, because again, back in the pandemic, it was fine when we were working from home, when we were working remotely. But then now, employers are insisting that their employees should go back to work in the office. And I know there are also a lot of implications or a lot of factors affecting that. Some of them might be paying rental, lease on their buildings, or for tax benefits that they have to go back to the office. But then again, if a company will advertise work from home to attract applicants, only to find out after that it's not actually offered, then that's a bummer, right? So I suggest you speak with your hiring manager or your recruiter and clarify that part of the arrangement if that's going to be such a deal breaker for you. Because I know it is for me. Number three, salary advertised is not really what the offer is. So usually job posts on job platforms and companies' websites will have a range, right? A range of number that's offered to you. But in most cases, these are just for compliance because some job platforms will not allow them to post their job if there's no salary range. And most likely, you are only going to be offered the lowest amount in that salary range. So if it's 30 to 35,000 pesos, for example, most likely they're only offering 30,000 and they just like bump it up to attract more talent and to attract more applicants. So I would say manage your expectation because in this job market, like, there's so many of you vying for a role and there are also a lot of employers looking for applicants. Applicants and job hunters nowadays after the pandemic have also become a bit more choosy, and I can't blame you. I can't blame them because, you know, it's about time that you get that job that you deserve. It's not a one-way street anymore wherein the employer will just be the sole decision maker. It's a win-win situation if both you, the applicant, and the employer are fit for each other, right? So again, watch out for disclaimers or anything that's written on the job post. Make sure that you read it carefully. Some of them will say, will have a disclaimer at the end of their post saying that the salary range posted may not be the actual job offer or may not be the actual salary. The actual salary might be based on your skills, experience, and performance previously. So it really depends. You cannot be sure and you cannot really trust that what's posted there is the actual salary offer. So you have to confirm that. I also find that there are job posts that are stale or not updated anymore, but it's still posted. It could be a case of recruiters forgetting that it is still up even though they've already hired for that role, or that they're just pulling applicants in. Maybe they're unsure of the person they've hired, and if that person will back out at the last minute, then at least they have a pool of applicants waiting. And the salary offer might have changed at that point. So again, it really depends. The next thing that I have noticed is that the job responsibilities are not aligned with the salary offer, meaning that there's a laundry list of job responsibilities, meaning that the employer or the company is looking for a superstar who can do pretty much everything for a meager amount of salary. So that will become a problem in the long run. Anybody who will accept that is probably in need of a job as soon as possible and will just get whatever is out there. And I can't blame that person. I also can't blame the company in a sense because it is a case of maybe cost cutting. Company is really just saving money and just wants one person to do everything. I'm not saying that it is right or it's cool to do that, but sometimes that's the way it is. And hopefully when you get to, you know, your decision whether to accept this job or not, that you'd be paid based on, you know, the responsibilities that you're doing, the output, the result that you're giving to the company. And in relation to that, it's also possible that the job responsibilities they listed on the job post are not exactly what you're going to do when you're already hired. And that sucks a lot because as an applicant, you applied for this job basing on what you've read in the job post. But then again, when you get to the company and you start working, you find out that it's not really what you're gonna do. So I won't blame you if you feel like you've been betrayed or you've been scammed. It is really how it feels. It's just your decision at the end of the day. Is it worth it? Or will you just accept the fact that you're gonna have to quit that job after day one? That, or maybe you learn to negotiate. So for this particular amount of salary or basic pay, I will work on these things. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And these are the things that I can provide to you in return. And I know that when you're starting, when you're a newbie, this is probably not applicable to you because for newbies, you are taking this opportunity to gain experience, right? So whatever it is that's going to be assigned to you, you go do it. But at some point in your life, when you have more experience in doing things and you're already confident with your skills and what you can bring to the table, you definitely have to learn to negotiate to your salary and your scope of work. As a reminder though, if you're applying in a BPO or call center, most likely the salary is a set or fixed amount, and that's going to be beyond your control. Like, you can't really change that because that has already been set as a standard salary for your role and for everyone applying. They might have a premium for those who have experience, but it's not going to be a lot. And there's really not that much of a room to negotiate. But that's okay because you're just starting your career, and as long as the salary is decent, it can pay the bills, then you maybe can consider that. I'm not in the business of telling you what to do. You have to make sure that you list down your expenses and take note of how you can work around the salary that you are given. So what I can say is that do your due diligence, do your research. Is the list of responsibilities aligned with the offer of the company? Are you willing to go through that? Are you going to accept it because you need the experience or because there's really just nothing else that you can get at the moment? Is this company looking for a slave and you are willing to be one? Hope not, but those are the decisions that you have to think about. Number five, unlimited PTOs. Super nice, super generous, sounds amazing. But when you look at the job post, they say it's a time demanding job. And you can't even see what the schedule is on the job post. So who knows if the schedule is like graveyard shift or if it's something that will make your world upside down. If it's worth it, you know, to have the unlimited PTOs for that kind of schedule, work arrangement, or job responsibilities, then, I mean, go for it. I would love to have unlimited PTOs because I take vacations every quarter and mini vacations every month because that's just going to make me sane. However, if your job is super time demanding, you'll be on call and you will not even have a breather, or that applying for a leave is going to be a one hell of a ride, then your unlimited PTOs are not going to freaking make sense, right? So hopefully those unlimited PTOs are not going to be like shooting for the stars, because if it is, then again, maybe it's not worth it.